The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 632 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick. Joining me is Aiden.
Yo.
And Colton.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, guys. We made it. On this episode, we've got some LeagueCast news, a lot of new news, including a pretty surprising Skarner rework drop, I feel like. We'll probably jump straight into Competitive League and Roundtable and Malphite. Aiden, how was your week?
Mike was good. Very little league, other than like I guess we played some like 2 nights ago.
We've been playing normals.
I enjoyed it because we won most of them. I think my frustration with not being good at the game grows more and more the less I play. I definitely have the, I did poorly in a game. I guess I will just play a character I know how to play and just beat some fucking silver players' bones in.
It does suck a little bit that's like kind of what normals are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also just like, I feel like every time you try to do something like a little off, you just get like the worst possible version of it. You're like, oh, I'm gonna do something silly, like I'm gonna play on hit zillion top, and then you just get like the worst possible counter and the jungle ganks you 4 times or something.
Yeah.
I was also getting mad about that, which once again I think is a dumb complaint, but like in the moment it's like something to actually complain about. It's like, fuck, I miss playing at high elo, because like I'll do things where like, okay, this is a bad lane, I'm in a bad position, but what I'm gonna do is, because I'm just a better player than their top laner, I'm going to push this out, dump a wave, proxy the next wave to get a free recall. I know their jungler is not top because he just full cleared top side. I have a ward in this jungle, and his full bottom side jungle's up. So I do that, and then they're jungle shopping. I'm like,
yeah.
Like, and it's just like, once again, that is a risk to go for, and I got punished for that risk. That's one of those things where I think the percentage of that working goes up exponentially the higher ELO I get to, because the jungler is playing more optimal. I would argue the correct way to play the game, which, don't get me wrong, I'm in the wrong because I fucked up and I got caught and I died there. But it's like, fuck, man.
Yeah,
my fundamentals are punished by people playing less correctly, which is weird.
Yeah, it definitely happens, right? Like, I think the easiest example is, right, like, you miss a skill shot because, like, they didn't dodge, or, like, you did a flash predict and they didn't flash, and, like, they absolutely should have there, right? But I think, like, jungle pathing, too, is another one where, like, if everyone in the game is at the same level, and I think particularly at a higher level, you're going to start seeing like less variance there. Like, I don't know the exact timer now that first grub spawn, but let's say like I think it's like 6 minutes.
It's the same time as dragon, whatever that is.
I think it's 6 minutes. I might be wrong. But let's say 6 minutes is when grub spawn, and at 5 minutes and 30 seconds, their bot lane resets. And as a jungler, I see this. Right, I can pretty safely assume that, like, in my current elo, at least, like, you know, masters 100 or so points, that their support is going to reset and go to grubs. Yeah. Right. And so I can make the decision, do I think we fight grubs, or do we take a 3v1 dive on their AD carry bottom? And like, that 3v1 dive is so free if I want to make that play into like dragon or something. But if I'm against like a gold support player, I have no idea if he's actually going to go to those grubs or not, and if that's going to end up being like a dive that gets us all killed.
Yeah. No, it is funny. It does feel like a lot of the scenario of like, oh, they've just selected random for every decision. Yeah. so my knowledge of the game is useless. Mm-hmm. It's like fucking, dude, you know in Yu-Gi-Oh! When Pegasus can see his cards, but then Yugi doesn't look at his cards?
Yeah.
It's like that.
You're such a nerd.
Yeah, you should have said it's like when Jotaro battles the Darby brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Same thing. Dude,
either way, it's fun for the most part. But I think League is a good game. I think it's just very frustrating at times. And I definitely see it a lot playing with our friends who are like less good. I see the frustrations in the game that I think I would feel even more if I was less good at the game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah. There are like, some things that get discussed that are kind of like, well, I don't know, that's just how it works. or something like that, you know?
I think a lot of frustrations like are just we can kind of outskill the things that people complain about.
Yeah.
Like, not to make this into my whole week tangent or whatever, but like there's a Reddit thread. I haven't seen that thread in like a long time, but it was like, what is the most unfun character mm-hmm. to play against in League of Legends, right? And I would say the most common answer in that entire thread is Yone, which I think there are issues with Yone. I think high elo players complain about Yone a lot. I think Colton's complained about Yone a lot. I think we've all complained about Yone a lot, right? That being said, I think he is a character that is more frustrating the less good you are at the game because he has so many options that it's hard to understand what he can and can't do at all times, right? His like option select is just so wide, right? And I think he's like relatively balanced, maybe like a little bit too strong, but like fuck, the worse you are at the game, man, the more all the things he can do must feel daunting. Like,
yeah, I would agree with that assessment.
Yeah, and I think for me, one of my biggest frustrations with Yone has always just been like the things he can do. I think pretty regardless of like how strong he is, like I agree with you. I think he's at a pretty balanced state, like. Maybe a slightly stronger than like perfectly balanced, but it's just really frustrating to like see him, you know, dive you under your like in between your first and second tier tower and then go back to an E that's under his tower. Like that's just not fun, and like you can't CC him to punish that.
Yeah, dude, that threat is great though, because lots of people just going like, there's just so many characters that like can miss everything and kill you. It's like there's very few characters that can miss everything and kill you unless they're just so far ahead.
Yeah, I feel like that's the point that always gets forgotten. Like, okay, maybe this Qiyana did miss everything and killed you, but then she got 14 kills before that.
Yeah, I mean, so it doesn't matter. I played Yone in a normal game like a couple months ago, where I was beating this Lux into a pulp, then I was just like crushing her, and I was playing pretty well. And then I had a dive where I was super fed, and I missed my ult, missed my Q3, and killed her. And she was so angry. It's like, but I've killed you 7 times.
It shouldn't matter at that point because you're so far ahead.
I think it is still like in the moment super frustrating to be like, wow, yeah, like I think more so against I would say mages. Where like you're more actively dodging instead of them just missing, right? Because I feel like if Yone misses Q, 90% of the time it's because he missed it, not because necessarily you dodged it.
Yeah.
Right. Versus like if it's a Lux Q, like that's on you to dodge, and there's like some time buffer there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like if you dodge the Lux Q E, but then she R autos you and kills you, like. Yeah, maybe she was 10 kills up at that point, and that's why her R auto was enough to kill you. But it feels really frustrating when you've, like, dodged 4 EQs in a row, and then she just, like, raw ults and kills you.
Yeah. One more thing before I, like, pass it over is, like, also in those threads, my absolute favorite thing, and I almost typed up a response and I stopped, is just people who, like, just extrapolate a character's kit to make them sound ridiculous.
Yes,
like,
yes, yes. God, I love that.
There's this paragraph of like, yo, and it was like, my favorite part was like, he goes about like how he can miss every ability. He can miss his ult. He can miss his Q3. He can kill you. He can get out of anything. He has two unstoppable get out of jail free cards. Obviously his ult is E. And my favorite one was he has Zed ult on his E.
Oh, like, okay.
That's a little bit much. Like, it's just like, I started typing a response of like, the exact same copy-paste with all of Annie's shit.
Yeah.
She has point-click CCs, AoE, one-shot abilities, you know, all that garbage. It's just like, dude, it's just, you can make every character's ability sound like that. It's so sad, man.
Yep.
But
yeah, it reminds me, I think I did that's it one my week. Time. I think I did it one time for a show where I think it was like during the Seraphine Sona debate. When people were like, those are the same character, and I like had reduced a couple characters down to like high level bullet points like that, and was asking you guys like, tell me what character this is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys remember that, but it's just like, you can do that, and it just, it's not a good way to analyze the game.
Yeah. No, because every character is like OP on paper.
Yeah.
And dude, that's what I was like getting at the fucking like unfun thread. Like, it's like at a high level, I think kind of every character is unfun unless they're bad, right? Because like, the in League of Legends, in a game where like it's so raw of like you shut someone else out of the game, the person you're playing against, is like, if a character is fun to play against, it means they're not doing well into you, I think, almost always, right?
It's either they're weak or they have so much counterplay that their lead doesn't matter.
Yeah, because like I don't know, like whenever I'm ahead of someone, like I feel like I'm just putting them in the dirt, right?
Yeah,
and that's just kind of the game, right?
Like, oh, and then it's fun to face a bad Gwyn, right?
Yeah,
like
I don't know, it's weird, but I don't, maybe I'm thinking of it wrong, but like, whatever.
No, I don't think so.
How was your week?
Yeah, my week was pretty good. I've been playing pretty minimal ranked, but I did play a ton of double up with Quinn. We are, I think, three wins outside of Masters, so we're going to try and get that
nice.
Done. I think we can either do it tomorrow. I know the season for TFT ends tomorrow. I don't know if it's at midnight, right, like the first second of tomorrow or at the end of the day. But I think we're going to try and get a couple games in tonight. I've been generally winning more than I'm losing when playing solo queue. I just haven't been playing a lot of games, but I'm up to 268 LP.
Ooh.
So I'm, you know, still probably 300 LP away from GM. I don't know exactly what the cutoff is, but I feel like it goes up by about 30 every week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about it for League for me. I mean, that what you were just talking about, I think another frustration a lot of players have with League that I've seen like in our friend group is that there's like so much they don't understand that it's like hard to troubleshoot, or mm-hmm. it's like, I lost lane, it was unplayable, or like, this happened, there was nothing I could do. And it's like, there's a lot of context that's you know, as somebody who's been playing the game a lot for 14 years, I have, but like, for example, like my brother Warren stopped playing the game for like 7 years, and now every time he comes back and plays a normal, like if he doesn't win lane, it's always just like, there is nothing I could do, like this character's OP. And like, but I think he even like frames it pretty well, where he's just like, I don't understand what I'm doing wrong and what they're doing right,
which I think is a very fair criticism of League as a whole. I don't think there's a lot of information for, like, you know, you go into a game and you're playing as this character, what the fuck does this character do?
I mean, like, dude, the one thing that, like, always amazes me, like, I think it's the same vein, Colton, is, like, and once again, this isn't to flame my friend, I love playing games with them, is I'm always so amazed at, like, they go into fights having what seems like no idea of the outcome, even when, to me, it seems super obvious, right? Like, they run into this Garen, from an example of our last game, right? And it's like, in my head, I'm like, oh, you literally, you're not going to do 30% of his health before he kills you, right? And this is just something that they can't think and process how, or they don't care to, how that fight would go, right? Whereas, like, in my head, the way I'm heading towards a lane, I think, like, what abilities they have up, what they can do, how they could beat me, who else could be there. Like, I'm thinking out, like, 100 things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you generally are thinking about a lot more than most players, and like definitely more than me. I'm not typically thinking that much about it, but I think we all generally have like a pretty good idea. I think the times I see it the most are particularly around objectives, where it's like, dragon is up, we fight the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, dragon is up,
fight every dragon.
And it's like, it's not a consideration of like, okay, what are our lane states, what are our items? Have we like are we full health? Are we half health? Are we down 5,000 gold? It's just like, well, they're taking the dragon. We need to fight them.
You win the game by taking the dragon.
Yeah, or like the dragon is up. We have to take it, even though, like, maybe we could be getting more by diving topside or something.
Dude, it's so funny because I think we all have that exact opinion. Like, fuck, how many games have we lost just by like smorking into dragon because we have to fight dragon because dragon's up.
Yeah.
And then also on the contrary, I'm always amazed at like how often like we play with like some lower level players. So like we get behind a lot. And games are, I'm gonna say doomed is the word I'm gonna use, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're so far lost. And because we've been losing so hard, people refuse to take fights when in all of our perspectives at that point, it's like, okay, no, we just need to force shit.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that like literally yesterday when we were playing the Samira game, right? Like bot lane's going pretty well. Like we've gotten, I think like 2 kills, up some farm. The rest of the map is not doing the hottest. So it's time to fight, right? Yeah. But I don't know. So I gotta clear my camps.
It's just funny because like our perspectives and their perspectives like take this like weird like flip like halfway through the game, and it's just like it's so funny.
Yeah, it's definitely like a really weird thing. And then like there's other stuff where like I've definitely been flamed a few times. So like, why are you playing normals like this? That's so toxic of you. It's like, because I'm not allowed to play with my friends otherwise. I'm literally not allowed to.
It's okay. Papa Freak is gonna change it since he's hopefully high elo now.
Freak actually notoriously doesn't do okay with people, which is
funny. Never mind. We're doomed.
Also, one thing I found funny in that game is like Aiden, I pulled a U and just absolutely tanked my lane to get you your head.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. That was crazy. And you were playing a very greedy laner too.
Dude, I'm playing top lane, Tom Kent, and Colton comes for a level 2 dive on Garen as Tristana.
Yeah.
Dude, like, what the fuck are you doing?
I shove 2 waves mid because I'm against a Vex. Like, I don't get to play this lane. Really, as Tristana into Vex, mm-hmm. if she knows what she's doing at all, like, I never actually have threat on her, and can really, I can auto her, like, once a wave, maybe. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna go dive top. We, like, crashed, like, what should have been 2.5 waves, and it ended up as, like, 1 wave, because minions trolled Aiden.
Dude, I was so angry, man.
Yeah, I don't know, it was just funny, and, like, I don't know, I had a level disadvantage mid for the rest of the game because of it, but I also did way fun. More than the Vex who was playing PvE.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have fun around here. Yeah, what about you, Nick? How was your week?
It was pretty good. I made a lot of progress in Path of Exile. I feel like I've kind of done what I wanted to this particular league, which is just clear all my little Atlas maps, which isn't like terribly impressive, but it's definitely the best I've ever done at Path of Exile. So happy for that. Probably going to play the next league as well, assuming it's not like a, I don't know, shitty nerfed version, which it might be. But we'll see. I'm also kind of getting the itch to play solo queue. But I don't know how like badly that itch is going to continue. So we'll see about that, but there may be some ranked updates soon. Otherwise, I finally saw Dune 2 this weekend, which is pretty exciting. I think the movie was pretty good. Thanks for coming to my TED talk.
I also thought the movie was pretty good.
I like Nick Reviews movie.
Well, it's still like a pretty recent movie, so I don't want to like spoil it too much, but I definitely think it's worth seeing. If you like the first one, you like the second one. I think that's probably the best like review that you can give without giving it away. So, cool. I think that's it. Should we get on with the show? Do we have any League Cast news?
No League Cast news. Still just chugging along on some stuff.
Hell yeah. All right, let's get into the new news then. Should we do the patch notes?
Yeah, let's go through it pretty quick because we just spent 20 minutes on shooting the shit. So
yeah, and we also have a lot of other stuff to talk about. They're getting rid of DirectX 9 or whatever. I don't know. Ranked adjustments when you demote, you go to 50 LP instead of 75 LP, which is probably good. I think it's one of those things where demoting was too forgiving. You'd have to lose a bunch and then your MMR would just be super fucked.
It was very weird at 75 when you get, like, if you got more than
20. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly. That was a weird system, but.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, probably still feels bad, but over the long run, it should be better for, you know, for everyone, so.
Feels like they probably could accomplish the same thing by putting it at, like, 70 or something, but.
Yeah, probably. Especially since they also just reduced, like, LP across the board-ish, right? Isn't that?
Yeah. overall.
I believe it. I feel like this could also just be like fixed by just making divisions as like 0 to 400 point thing. Like gold 400 points is when you promote to platinum.
Yeah,
it's getting too close to ELO, dude. My fucking ELO alarms are going off.
True. I also think it like it feels bad to see like, oh well, now I have to play fucking a million games to get to 400 LP. You know.
Yeah, it also feels bad to be at like 16 points and you lose 17, and then you lose one more and are down to 50.
I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That feels really bad as someone who, like, had
bars. The hell of.
I just say that all the time.
You did say that yesterday. First
all
something
right,
and I was
next patch notes. They updated the bot AI. Cool.
Whoa.
Next up, prior. Q can now jump towards. W bonus attack speed decreased and healing decreased. Ultimate damage increased.
Cool.
I'm Cho'Gath.
Okay. Cho'Gath's Q cooldown is decreased. His E damage is increased. He probably needed it. It's nice.
That's his W cooldown, idiot.
Oh, his W.
You said
yeah.
Q.
Yeah.
You're dumb.
Ooh. Dude, I played an AP Cho game like a couple days ago and I fucking shit on people.
I feel like he's
so
good.
Fun.
Like, obviously, you have to hit a hard skill shot, but then, like, is there a more guaranteed kill in League of Legends?
I think he's bad top is the issue. Like, as, like, a tank, he is not
mid.
A great tank. Yeah, I think he's a fine, like, mid pseudo, like AP bruiser tank. And I think I still think he's good bottom. I know I'm a fucking, like, bot lane, not marksman salesman. Like, anything but marksman.
But also, AD cares of you.
But, yeah, like, dude, just, like, fucking pick, like, characters like Cho.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you lower that burden of execution so much, and all of the AD carry players who aren't good enough to play AD carry just die to it.
Yeah
every
say,
fucking
it's
bad
OP.
Lane.
I got hit by a skill shot with a 1.25 second delay.
Dude, it's just like every bad lane goes to a lane where you get fucking 50 AP, and now you one hit the wave and heal from it. Like, oh, dude, I don't know why people don't play characters like that.
Cool, Diana, because it's not marksman. Attack speed ratio increase, growth decrease, passive bonus attack speed decrease, scaling adjusted, empowered bonus attack speed duration increase. She's better in the jungle.
Cool. Galio. Some big adjustments to his passive. Q damage decreased, cooldown decreased, W damage decreased, damage reduction adjusted, E damage decreased, and damage to non-champions increased. Cool. So they're trying to give him more like consistent damage as opposed to like the one shot burst.
It's super cool that his passive I don't know is increased. I feel like that's one of the more interesting abilities in his kit.
Yeah.
His punch.
Yeah, I am interested to see if they fix the bug that his passive auto attack, if you play him support, can't proc the quest.
Galio's passive now correctly executes minions when using the support item.
Where does it say that?
At the very bottom. Under
it'd
bug fixes.
If you just made that up,
oh,
that'd be sick.
Oh, okay, nice. I would have thought it was with the passive.
No, it's under bug fixes, under Galio. Not
nice.
In bug fixes. What I would have thought was really funny, Aiden, is if he scrolled down and was like, Galio's passive not. Yeah, it would be really nice if they fixed the bug with Galio's passive and the support item.
Yeah.
I hope they. Cool. I hope they reduce the increase the cooldown of Karma's mantra R.
Good one. We're on Gragas though.
Get your hands off your monitor, Nick.
Whose base health? That's still one of the funniest things. Gragas's base health is decreased. His Q mana cost increased. Cool.
Sweet. Karma, ooh, let's see what she's got in store. Mana growth decreased, mana regen growth increased, passive cooldown refund decreased, Q mana cost increased, R cooldown increased, ER bonus shield increased. Stop playing mid Karma. Or else.
Can knock it off, you degenerates.
Yeah, stop
Kane.
It or else.
Darken Q damage increased, Q animation now prevents the use of active items. Shadow Assassin R damage decreased.
I do think that's a good change because I think you could, like, I think you could Tiamat during it, and it felt really, really bad to get hit by that.
Yeah. When, can they please change it so that he can't ult off of Smite?
You know, he can ult off of Smite. Ornn with his E cooldown is being decreased. dude, what the fuck is this change, man? I can't imagine a world where lowering Ornn's early game E cooldown by 2 seconds is like a power positive buff.
Well, so they said they wanted to make E max and Q max equal.
Dude, if you're E maxing on Ornn, dude, what the fuck are you smoking?
People have found a lot of success with it, it says.
Dude, that, I don't get it. Maybe I don't understand, but what do you do? Just go slamming into walls on repeat?
Yes.
You're gated by your Q cooldown.
Not if you're fighting in the jungle.
Yeah, idiot.
Yeah, maybe jungle. It's jungle word. Cool.
Cool. Rek'Sai, W bug fix, R quality of life in bug fix.
Senna, passive mist wraith drop rate is decreased.
I did just want to quickly touch on this one, because I do think there's a conversation to be had here. Mm-hmm. Of she is a character with very clear, like,
levers,
buttons. Yeah, levers, buttons, whatever you want to call it, that mm-hmm. Riot can just adjust on the fly to fucking just choose if she's good or not. There was a screenshot of every change that's been done to her passive since release. So she's been out for 5 years, and she's gotten 14 or something patches worth of changes only to the soul rate based on like if she's last hitting or not last hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a little lame personally that like Riot has this number that they just adjust to either make her an AD carry or make her a support on at their like discretion.
Like, yeah, I mean, I think it's lame, but I also think it's a fantastic way to balance the character, right?
Yeah, like, but they just like, dude, she's been good in both, like, just randomly throughout the 5 years. It's just like they just get to choose. Like if they wanted, they could just change it back next week and she's good support again, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, which would be okay, I feel like, as opposed to like a lot of these characters who once they get like buffs or nerfs, they never get seen again. I don't know. I think that would be fine with me. I like it.
So to clarify, this nerf specifically is to push her more towards support and away from farming as a carry. It's lowering the rate of soul drop if she kills the minion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hooray, support Senna will now be probably better than farming Senna again. It is interesting because I think if they had more levers like this and had one for like every character, it would be probably good for the game. But it does feel bad if it's like she's one of a very small handful of characters that they like are constantly tweaking with something like this. And like Nick was saying, it's like other characters get like one heavy-handed change that lasts for like 13 months before.
I do think that like that sucks, but if they like if they applied it to every character, I think it would be fine.
Yeah, like, imagine if for Yasuo and Yone they were just like every patch changing like the crit multiplier from the passive, right? Where it's like instead of 10% crit giving you 20%, it's going to give you 18% now. Mm-hmm. It's going to give you like 17.1. Like,
dude, I'd be so mad if I was a main of this character.
Or like if you're a Kalista main and it's like your auto attacks instead of now doing 90% of your AD, now do 87% or like 92. Because we're going to just make her a little stronger or a little weaker.
I do think there's an argument to be said that the game would be like healthier though, like if that were the case.
Maybe we'd get some sort of like wonderful computer. I don't know, like awesome computer. I'm not sure like what you call it.
Like an amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
I do think, like I was saying, like if they had a good lever on every character, that would probably be okay. But there's most characters don't have something like that you can
tweak for sure
really easily.
Shen, his passive cooldown has been adjusted.
Cool. Sion, Q damage is increased. W shield is increased. So the Q is better for AD and the W is better for tank.
Nice.
Smolder, Q execute threshold decreased. And
they
the conditions
took this character out back.
Yeah, this character is not playable, I think.
W width decreased. E movement speed decreased.
This character sucks.
I mean, like, once again, I talked about it like 2 weeks ago on the show of like, I think his main issue is that his thresholds for when he hits, like, let's just say, let's just call it like late game, right? Like the 225 stacks, which is now, did they know that, is it, oh, they didn't change it to 275, or is it already 275 from last patch? I can't remember.
I don't know. That's a good question.
They were going to make it 275, but I can't, dude, I read too many patch notes and I can't tell which ones are PvE and which ones are alive. But either way, it felt like that breakpoint was too much of a holy shit, this character does nothing, to this character
this character is the best character in the game. Yeah,
and it feels like, and also another cool thing about it, which made pro play awesome watch, is it felt like there's not a good way to slow it down at that level of play. Like, don't get me wrong, we play with our friends and they like everyone likes Smolder, and they fucking get 225 stacks at 35 minutes, and that's not an issue. The issue is that pro play, where it's hyper optimized, they always get it at like 25 at the latest, and that's if you like don't trade with the character, you never like let him farm, you deny him everything possible, and he gets it at 25. And if it's optimal, we saw fucking Elk get it at 1930. And it's like, dude, that's an issue. Like,
if you haven't won the game by then, it's so hard to actually play against this character, just because of like, I feel like just because of the execute, it's not even his damage, it's just the fact that you have what, 7% less health at 225.
And it, like, the fact that, like, oh, you can deny it by 5 minutes by like playing the most boring sleeper fucking game of the world makes the game awful, dude. Like, the best way to play against this character is avoid
just
it.
Don't,
like,
interact with screen, it. Yeah,
don't let him hit you.
or you can play like very risky to try and kill him on repeat, which like doesn't I think really work super well.
Well, then he gets stacks.
He gets stacks, right? Like, if you can kill him and then he misses like two waves, then it's right. Like, he gets less stacks from WQing you. But if you ever fuck that up, it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I dislike right now, especially with like the Smolder meta we've had, is that it's like, you don't pick hard engage to try and bully Smolder. You just like say, okay, I guess we're both AFK farming for 30 minutes and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Is like, I feel like the optimal way to play against him. I also want to note that they changed it so that the execute is just at a flat 6.5% now. It doesn't scale with how many stacks you have, so it's just once you hit the threshold, it's at 6.5%.
They did change it a lot then.
Yeah. One other thing to note, he also can only execute off of his own damage now. He no longer executes off of like ally damage.
Dude, they put this character in the fucking dirt. And this isn't even all the changes that they were going to go through with. Like, they cut back on some of the changes, and holy fuck, man. Like, I think one of the other changes was it was going to be 275 for stacks, for, like, when it, like, upgrades. Like, holy shit, they've just executed this character, which is good. He's very
strong.
He's very annoying to play against, but, like, in pro play, he actually ruins it. Like, I think it's the least fun I've ever had watching pro play. Like, it's worse
than
because
Zeri at least
Yumi,
like,
I think
I still feel like at least Zeri Yumi is like it's like flashy, right? Like, it's still impressive to pop off and kite like optimally, but I truly feel like with Smolder, you just like, it's literally just pressing Q.
Zeri Yumi also doesn't ruin the first 25 minutes of the game. Like, yeah, once Zeri hit her Navori whatever spike, like the three item spike or whatever the fuck she had when she was like pick ban, was like, oh, she auto wins the game and it's miserable, but like, at least it was fun before that.
And we also saw like junglers create a response to it, right? Like, that's Zeri Yumi is the only reason Vi is played,
yeah,
like in competitive, right? Like, Maokai was really good into it. I don't know, I feel like there was like good responses to it, but what do you do against a character who is as safe as Smolder is while having the benefits that he does, the scaling that he does. Like,
yeah.
Did you guys see the fucking, what was it? Was it Dignitas?
Oh, yeah.
100
TL.
TL, where they picked Aurelion Soul Smolder and just hard scaled?
I mean, that's its own issue at pro play. Like, if you're any competent team at all, dude, if they pick double scaling
that's
characters,
fair, yeah.
literally, how the fuck, dude, if you're playing Colton, you're Mr. Jungler, right? You're jungling and your AD carry picks Smolder and your mid picks Aurelion Soul. You just say, I'll go fuck myself. I'll just go sit in a corner and just jerk off because I have no priority.
Yeah, because I can't do anything.
But like, somehow fucking teams lose to that.
Yeah. Right, like, but if they pick Aurelion Soul Smolder, realistically, right, they should lose the first three dragons at minimum.
They didn't lose the first 30 minutes of the game. Yeah,
They didn't. I can tell you that. I think APA, was it APA that played it, or
like played Rolling Soul. Yeah.
I think he started like 3-0 or something like that.
Yeah, I think with the changes they've made to Aurelian, he's a much stronger laner than he was prior. So like, he can get going pretty soon. And I think, to me, Smolder is like way too good and safe early. Like he's not, I think, good enough in a way that like he can really bully and like take over a lane and get a big lead. But it's so hard to actually put him behind.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's just so safe.
Yeah.
And like if you try and punish him, you just give him more stacks 90% of the time.
Yeah, dude, fucking miserable design.
Yeah. Hey, Tryndamere.
Speaking of miserable design, attack speed growth has increased.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's it.
Aiden, it's your guy.
I love Volibear. He's getting nerfed, though, because he's super OP. And his Q bonus movement speed is being decreased, and his R cooldown is being increased, which I think are both good changes.
Items. Crit items are better. Infinity Edge, more crit damage. Navori, more attack damage. And a different build path. Lord Dom's, more armor pin. Mortal Reminder, more armor pin.
Give us 25% crit, though, Riot.
Yes.
Yeah. God, if they did, I think that would be so dangerous.
Yeah, but that's what AD carries need, dude, because they're only picked 6 times a game right now.
Exactly. I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, from a misfortune perspective, right, where it's like, if I could get 100% crit with 4 items, then I get to build, like, 2 full lethality items still. So I could go, like, collector, i.e. LDR, and still also get, like, Yomu's and Axiom Arc.
Go back to the days of building Black Cleaver.
True. I can't build LDR and Black Cleaver together anymore.
Well, I wouldn't build LDR, I'd build Black Cleaver.
Oh, and get my 100% crit elsewhere?
Yeah. Collector. Infinity Edge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then 2 others.
Nice.
Name any other 2 crit items.
I can't. I don't think there are any more.
That's all of them. Okay, another change. Doran's items for junglers and supports. No. Can't do it anymore.
Good.
Bad. Cool.
It's whatever. Yeah. I took my truth about it last week. early income for supports. So, fuck, they're just... I don't know. They're just rebalancing this. The supports just get too much shit early is, like, really what it is. They're... axing how much gold you get total, so you get 800 total from like the full upgrade. It means you upgrade it earlier, but it's still going to end up being similar time because they're slowing it down, I believe. I haven't seen it in practice yet, but in theory it's supposed to still complete at the same time, but you're getting 200 less gold total of it. Is kind of the main changes here, if I believe that's correct.
Yeah,
that looks correct. Yeah,
they don't want you to hit 2 items as quickly as players have been.
Good.
Yeah,
I heard our podcast. Oh, I love this change. I love this. Can I go over this one really quick?
Yeah.
They're making epic items not just better than fucking endgame items. Woo. Right? So, like, all the items I talked about, like, months ago of, like, Bombies, Caulfield's was less... The items they're going through right now, by the way, are Bombies, Caulfield's, Fiendish, Glacial, Haunting Guys, Hearthbound Axe, Alternator, Kirsch's Tard, Serrated Dirk, Spectral Cowl, Steel Sigil, Brutalizer, Tunneler, and Verdant Barrier. So all those items, they're making them less efficient compared to their completed thing. Because I was saying a couple months ago, like, why the fuck are you finishing items like... Bombies should never be finished into Sunfire, right? Verdant Barrier should never be finished into Banshee's Veil. What are some other great ones on this list? Oh, fucking Alternator is just one of the best spikes in the entire fucking game for mages.
Yeah,
for
like
some reason.
Alternator and Dirk, good. I think, are just so strong as components. It's not that they're not better upgraded, but it's like the difference between somebody coming to lane with Dirk who can use Dirk versus somebody coming to lane with like Caulfields who can use Caulfields is way different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're just making those items like less strong to sit on, which is awesome because I think as much as I think it's cool to math out stuff and like, oh, like having this build where you have Bombies, Bramble, Boots, and then you're starting on your fucking first item is like cool because you're like playing this efficient build or whatever. That's cool. I don't think it's good for the game. So it's nice.
Yeah, and it's good just change. So not intuitive, and I think that's really bad for newer or just like lower tier players overall, where it's like, okay, if all the challengers know that you're supposed to go Bombies into Bramble and then you finish your steel caps and then you get like another component and then you start finishing items, like nobody else knows to do that, and that's not good for the game, right? It should make sense that, oh, I bought bombies. I should upgrade that into Sunfire. That's the most efficient path for me.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I do want to say, I think all of these are weaker except for the Verdant Barrier, which is actually just 100 gold cheaper.
Oh, it does kind of suck, though, I feel like.
It's bad. I mean, like, but, like, the issue is, like, so does fucking Banshees.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I feel like it is only good whenever you have, like, double AP mid jungle. And even then, it probably feels bad because it delays your, like, damage so much.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Right.
Up next, they are making some changes to Void Grubs. What the fuck does this even mean? On death, Void Grubs receive a 25% maximum and missing health shield that decays over 10... Okay, so they're giving it a bigger shield when you kill, like, one of the other grubs. So it's going to be just harder to take the grubs.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's supposed to be, like, the same, or... I think it's supposed to be the same. I think it's just one of those things, like a long time ago when they changed Scuttle from having a shield to just having a lot of health. I think they're just making it more clear as to when you're supposed to smite is what they're saying.
Okay. Huh. Weird.
They're changing it from a shield to a heal. Yeah. There you go.
It's a heal. Okay.
Yeah, it does read really weird, Cole. I also read it as shield as well the first time. But yeah, it's a heal now. So it's like not it's not as confusing to see.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I want to one-shot the shields by playing Rell.
Yeah.
It is weird that they have that and not just, like, just give them extra health, like, period. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why the other ones need to get stronger whenever you kill one.
I think it's, like, to, like, make it so you don't automatically get three, like, super easy. Because I think the idea is, like, they don't want you to, like, insta-clear three, like, by getting them all low at the same time. They want it to be, like, a camp that takes a while.
Yeah, I think is fine. I think you just, like, I guess it would be more clear if you just upped the health of all of them to compensate.
That's fair, yeah.
I definitely don't want it to be taken, like, faster, but oh well.
Cool.
ARAM changes. ARAM clash this weekend. Hey, are you guys ready to start it? Fucking 11 p.m.
Dude, it's so gross. I mean, it ends really fast. Like, the only thing that I'll give them is, like, it takes like 45 minutes to go through the tournament. Like,
yeah,
but still,
replay changes, mythic shop rotation, lots of bug fixes, and then a bunch of skins that you can look at.
That's what I like to look at and I like to talk about, Nick.
Then talk about it. We don't get paid by Riot, so this is on your time.
The only one I care about is the Yone one's really fucking cool.
Yone one is really cool. They're all cool. I like them all. Say it then.
Cool. I like them all.
You didn't want to talk about the Yone one?
No.
Okay, you just wanted to say there was a Yone skin and it is cool.
It's really cool, though.
Okay, cool. Sounds like you want to talk about it.
Tell us to look at the chromas. Tell us to look at the chromas. I always do that.
Don't want to. I didn't actually look at the chromas. I already exited the page.
Oh, okay. We move on. Hey, guys. Riot employees are no longer able to profit from streaming Riot games.
Yeah, it's cringe. Super lame.
I feel the same way. I did kind of see, like, that comment. I can't remember who posted it that explained it a little bit from, like, a corporate perspective, but I still feel like it's kind of cringe.
Yeah, they're probably getting some heat from other employees who are fucking big, ugly babies about the fact that, like, some rioters are profiting off their place and it's earning them more money. But that's just called fucking, like, working, man.
Skill diff.
I'm not trying to be, like, a fucking haul yourself up by your bootstraps, fucking just work, like, way hard, or work your full 8-hour day and then come home and work another 10 or whatever. But, like, the people who are fucking profiting from this are working their fucking dicks off, right? Like, of course, Mort Dog. I think the main people who this applies to are Mort Dog, Riot August, and I don't think Freak monetizes any of his things, but if he does, Freak, right? The Captain Flowers is another one, I guess, because he streams a lot, and I'm assuming he has a sub button on Twitch. I actually didn't double-check that.
Mm-hmm. I think he does.
But, like, dude, fucking Mort Dog streams only on the weekend, but he streams, like, fucking 10 hours a day every weekend.
That's crazy.
Like, guess what? The guy fucking probably works, like, a 50-hour week, and then he, like, does another, like, 20 to 30 hours on the weekend. Like, fucking, he deserves it. Like, he makes a fucked amount of money, though. I was looking at, like, this. He has, like, 5K subs.
Oh, wow.
He's bringing in, like, an extra, like, 150-200k from streaming, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. which I don't know, like, does he have this because of his position? Probably to some degree, but he also works his fucking ass off. And at the end of the day, dude, I'm assuming it's Riot's getting pressured from somewhere, because like, it's just free fucking advertising for their fucking game.
Yeah.
Gross, man.
Yeah, right. Like, I think my biggest issue with this is that it goes one of two ways, right? Like, there's less visibility for the game, or the league content creators that work at Riot, right? Like Mordog, for example, just says, okay, well then I guess I'll just quit.
Yeah, dude, he's making 200 grand from streaming. Why the fuck is he working a job that probably pays him 120 or 150?
Yeah, right. Like, and that's not better in either situation. It sucks. I agree. They're probably getting pressure, like, legally or for like staff, something weird. But it sucks, and it doesn't look good, right? Where it's like, okay, now you guys who are working these extra like 20 hours have to do it for free.
Just like I mean, the worst case scenario is, as you mentioned, Colton, is like these people leave the company because they can't do this thing they want to do in their free time, right? So you lose Captain Flowers, who's probably the best caster in NA. You mm-hmm. lose Mordog, who's probably one of the best devs on the entire League of Legends, like in Riot Games, right? Like, he's so fucking transparent about everything on TFT. You lose Riot August, who I think is one of the best designers. Like, dude, it's just like, this could end so bad.
Yeah, it really sucks. It does feel like you're kind of driving them away. I feel like a really good example of exactly that happening, Aiden, is when Cadril, right? Yeah. I feel like it became a lot harder for him to co-stream. So then he just quit his job as a caster, and now all he does is co-stream, right?
Yeah, and do you think the LEC lost value from that? Probably.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And people love Cadril.
The craziest thing about this is, so they're not allowed to stream Riot games and make money, so they can't like have a sub button and stream TFT, for example, right? So Mordog can't stream TFT. They can stream other games.
Just play something else.
So dude, like, once again, I don't think they will do this, because like, I think a lot of their audience does come from like the games that they make or play. That being said, dude, the best case scenario for Riot here is that, I mean, the best case is they all just stop streaming, they keep being good little employees. Mm-hmm. But the second best scenario is they just go stream other games. So like, what, fucking Mordog plays Overwatch for 10 hours a day? That's great for Riot.
Yeah, that's good for Riot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or like, I mean, take it a step further, if we want to go like one more rung down the ladder, it's like, you know, they start, I don't know, Freak starts streaming Dota, right? we're going to start streaming the direct competitor.
Oh, dude, it's so gross, man.
Right, like, I'm sure there are Riot employees who stream Valorant. Like, I'm not in those circles at all, but it's like, okay, cool, I'm just going to start streaming Counter-Strike. Mm-hmm. That's going to be good.
Dude, yep. It's so goofy to look at from that perspective, man.
It is pretty crazy. Cool. You guys want to talk about Skarner?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
He's
so his
cool.
Yeah, his rework is out, or his like proposed rework. I did see Aiden where the numbers weren't final, and he probably isn't just going to scale with HP.
Okay, good. Dude, I'm like, not that I mind, like, really thought it was that bad, but like, I was like, dude, Riot's fucking cooking in that first draft where his QW and E only have health ratios. I'm like, dude, mm-hmm. this is crazy.
Yeah. So just real high level overview. You should definitely watch the video, because it is kind of hard to explain some of these things. His passive is like, his attacks and spells apply a stack, and when you get three stacks, you proc a percent max HP damage over time effect. So that's pretty cool. Q, this ability is awesome. I love it. You get a rock out of the ground and you empower your next three autos. They get extra damage, range, and attack speed. Your third hit, like, it'll slam the rock into the ground, so it does more damage and slows. And then you can recast it early to throw the rock, and it stops on the first enemy, kind of like a Gnar rock throw.
I like when he just holds it.
Yeah, I do too. It does kind of suck, because I think all of his abilities like stop your movement when you cast them. So it doesn't feel like super smooth so far, is what people are saying. W, you gain a shield and you slow nearby enemies. And the slow comes from the like initial like damage part of pressing the ability, not with the shield. It's not like a constant slow. E is like one of the coolest abilities I think we've seen in a long time. You charge forward, you ignore terrain, and you grab the first enemy champion, a large monster. you slam them into a wall if you bump into terrain, and it is very similar to like a Kane E. Enemies can see it, but that's how it works. It's like a Kane E combined with Scion ult slash new new W. Yeah. Like it's kind of hard to turn, but it looks really, really cool. And then your ultimate, you impale up to three enemies with damage and suppress them. You gain bonus move speed and you carry them with you until the end of effect. You can't cast Q or E or flash during your ult. You can pull them over walls, and the duration is the same for any number of champions pulled. So it's not more if you only pull one person or vice versa. It kind of looks like when you press it, you have to like it charges almost similar to like a Scion Q. But it's faster and longer. And then it also looks like Skarner can't turn during the duration. Like you just kind of move like a, like you're yeah. locked in
it looks
like
super
one direction.
Blocky.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks really bad, when that particular like animation happens. But there's no more like, you know, you drag them backwards and then you turn 180
around,
to,
yeah,
to fling them behind you. But I mean, it's been pretty positively received so far, I would say. I think people are really excited for this.
They definitely making his cool, his only cool ability, his alt too. His coolest ability is definitely the charge
the E,
them
right,
through
yeah.
a wall. Yeah. And his alt kind of seems lame now, I guess, which is interesting.
A little bit.
I was hoping, like, you guys don't play Valorant at all, right?
No.
This might be another character, but so there's a character in Valorant where I don't know what their fucking name is, but their ultimate is like you fucking like click someone, right? And it fucking like ties them up in like, I'm going to call it a web. I don't know what it actually is. It's probably like some sort of cyberspace thing, mm-hmm. right? And it slowly drags them towards you. And once they reach you, they die.
Oh, shit.
And not they, obviously for Skarner, it wouldn't make sense for them to die, but what if he had like a linear skill shot, like impale, like it shoots out like a fucking bullet, impales them and then slowly drags them back. And if they reach like you, they, something like crazy happens. Like
that would
be so fucking cool.
I mean, even if they could just die, right? Like
yeah, they could. Yeah. And it like, takes a while.
How do you like break free from it?
Someone on the enemy team has to kill you. Is I think how it works in Valorant. I don't play Valorant. I've only like seen this character. They're not also picked in pro either, which is like
okay.
Much really.
So they suck.
Yeah, but like it's like, dude, maybe that could be like a spider character that might actually make more sense or something. Where like mm-hmm. that you spin them in a web and like pull them towards you or something. But that would be so sick. Where like it's a mechanic where you can slowly like kill someone and drag them in, and then your team has to intervene in some way.
They're like, that champion is for sure a top laner, and you just like help guys, help me, help while your bot lane's getting dove or something.
Yeah, I don't know, that'd be cool.
That's
but,
funny.
I think Skarner looks cool. He at least aesthetically, like visually, at like his actual design. I haven't read the new lore or anything. He looks way cooler than old Skarner. So
interesting. Yeah, I like him a lot. Awesome. So that's Skarner. Should we move into competitive league?
We can talk about that, yeah.
Sure. I just added a couple things. I don't know if you saw the sniper fine because he wore Crocs on stage. And now Crocs are an official sponsor of 100 Thieves, and they're covering the fine as well.
Yeah, we've seen lots of players get in trouble for wearing open-toed shoes on stage.
It's so weird, but I guess it makes sense from like a, I don't know, a safety perspective.
I'm sure it is safety-wise.
Like OSHA
it's
or
just
something.
More like, hey, we'll slap you on the wrist if you do it. Because
I think it was a $5,000 fine.
Which, yeah, is still, like, at the end of the day, a slap on the wrist for, like, them, you know what I mean? But, like, it's more just they have to cover their ass, I'm assuming. But,
yeah.
It's funny.
Cool. And then we can, like, briefly talk about the quick shot stuff. But
yeah,
he's
we have
no longer
opinions.
No, I think we have the same opinion. Something happened. Quickshot is no longer employed by Riot. I think a video leaked of him saying something that is like fine in every circle except for corporate like circles.
We can explain. I think it's fine to explain. I just like didn't feel comfortable on our public Discord sharing
yeah, that's
a
fair.
Video that
that's
someone
fair.
Else removed where they got fired for. Right, that was
yeah.
my issue with like it. So at Worlds. During play-ins, a video was posted by a fellow LEC talent of them just like doing like rehearsal stuff and like music's playing. And he has his like hand up like on his head, and he has his hand up doing like, you know, like the DJ thing where like your hands are in the mm-hmm. air, and he says, "Do the Hitler." right? And that video was posted, immediately deleted, and then it was like reposted by someone who like saw it, who's weirdly we don't need to get into it, but they're like a mod slash like content person for like a bunch of other LEC talent, which is super weird. And they definitely reposted it with like malintent. The person who originally posted it is LEC talent, and the working theory is that that person just took a fun video, didn't really hear what he said, and just posted it without like listening to it, like, because the person's a good person. And they definitely didn't post it with malintent. And I would assume they didn't post it because they thought this was a cool thing to share either, if they like actually heard it, right? So the current working theory is that they just had this funny clip of like stuff to backstage, and they posted it, and it had that audio clip in it. And he was immediately taken off all world stuff, and then we didn't hear from him for months. And now we've learned that he is no longer part of Riot.
Yeah, so I guess I'll explain my opinion first. I definitely think like this is probably like a fine thing to say among your friends, like, I don't know, in private company. I don't think it's like that offensive. But I do understand like a company needing to take action to save their public image, I guess. However, like cringe it may be.
I feel almost exactly the opposite, because I think the things you are saying are valid. I just think none of them apply is my main thing. I think, first of all, it's a video taken of someone without their consent behind the scenes of them making an offhand joke that I would argue is really not that offensive at all, like at all, right? Like, he's not even doing the fucking Hitler salute. He's making a joke about how the DJ fucking thing looks similar, right? And it's just a funny joke among friends in the back room, which was taken of him without him knowing, right? And then posted and immediately deleted. So first of all, I think there's something there to be said of like, hey, this, he fucking obviously on a broadcast or anything else would not say something like that. And second of all, he's fucking been with the company since the fucking beginning, and that's not how you treat employees who are like of value to you. That's my main issue, is like, I think it's gross, first of all, that they say nothing, just get rid of him silently. Fucking, he's not going to get any like sort of like, oh, thank you, quick shot, for your 10 years of making the LEC what it is. He's the fucking only, like, not only good part, he's one of the main factors which has made the broadcast into what it is today. And it's fucking gross that you just like get rid of talent that quick for something that I would argue isn't really even their fault. Like, it's fucking lame to me.
I understand that, but a large portion of the LEC probably takes place and is supported by, I think, like, German, either, like, fans or, you know, like, they host it in Berlin, right, where those sort of things are sort of punished or taken a little more seriously than, I don't know, everywhere else.
There is zero outrage, is what I'm saying. Like I would say the vast majority of people didn't know this existed, because the only way that you would know it exists is by going to this random person's like moderator's Twitter, who reposted it and then also immediately deleted, because she got a lot of people were saying mean things to her, which kind of makes sense.
No, I totally understand that like Riot didn't handle this the best. I don't even think that I don't know if anyone handled this the best. I guess I do understand, like, even if it's a, like, obviously a joke and it's not something that you consent to like saying, like, the words you choose to say have like consequences, and that, however like shitty that may be, I don't know. I understand Riot saying that, even if I don't agree with it.
I still completely disagree. I think like there's a difference between Joe Schmo, the guy who got hired last week, saying something crude and then maybe not wanting to defend and like make sure that person's still a working part of your like team going forward, who's kind of brought you to this point, versus someone who's been there for 10 plus years and has been an integral part of everything you've built, right?
Yeah,
I think that's a place where you take a stand and you go, hey, we don't agree with the things this person said. Even like, once again, I think it's not a big deal what he said, but even if Riot came out and said, hey, we fucking don't at all agree with anything he said, it is wrong, we've maybe put him on like a leave for a while, whatever. Yeah, that being said, we appreciate everything he has built for us, and we still want to continue to work with him because he has made our broadcast what it is today, right? That's how you handle it as a company who values their employees.
I think I'm a little in between the both of you, but I do agree with Aiden on this point, where like they very much could have, like, even if they were like, hey, you either make like a public apology about this, or like, or this relationship is over, like, they could have done that. And I think that there's like a weird disconnect there where, you know, maybe they just perceive these people as so much more of like the face of the company. But like, I feel like if a mid-level executive or like manager at Riot Games was like caught saying something like this, it would just be a, like, hey, here's like a ding in your record and keep going as usual, right? Like, hey, don't say bad stuff like this.
I mean, dude, all the fucking people who caused Riot to have the $100 million lawsuit against all women who have worked at the company in its history, a lot of them kept their jobs, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like stuff like that is like that. That's the issue. It's like they just don't value their employees and staff the way that they should. And it is very sad, honestly.
No, I would agree. All I'm saying is that I think like companies have the right to sort of, I don't know, do whatever they want in terms of, hey, we don't like how you represented this. And like, I'm not going to defend Riot, but perhaps that's what happened behind the scenes, right? Maybe they did approach him and say like, hey, you need to issue a public apology, and he wasn't willing to. Maybe they didn't talk to him at all. Maybe that's the problem. The more likely scenario, I think, is that nothing happened. They just suspended him and then fired him, which is really shitty. I don't know. I think the more
likely thing is that he's one of the only people who is an actual Riot employee left on either the NA and EU
broadcast. I mean, that's probably it too.
And they go, hey, we can finally get rid of him and cut costs because everything's going downhill and they just are fucking, it's fire sale time. So it's just finally an opportunity to get rid of someone who has brought value to their team.
Which, yeah, I mean, is probably a likely thing too. I don't know. I just think like that, I guess there's a time and a place for that. And even if you didn't know, like, I don't know, you're still a place where there's a shit ton of cameras and people and you're not in like private making those jokes.
Did you watch the video?
I haven't watched the video. I didn't intentionally like search it out.
Okay, well, I would recommend, because I think it's also like, dude, it's like, I don't know. I would recommend that because I think it also adds value to the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably true. I just think like if this were, I don't know, and it's hard to say, like, we don't find it personally offensive, but I'm sure there are a lot of people who do like feel that way, especially, I don't know, where things are happening that are not, you know, kosher with, you know, a certain group of people. I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to like woke police anyone, but I also think like it's important to, I don't know, not make jokes or anything like that in outside of safe spaces for that sort of thing.
I think a lot of my opinion just comes from kind of what Colton was getting at. It just feels like if it was like any mid to high level executive making these things, it was like somehow brought up, it just, they would never in like, it would not even be a consideration that they'd lose their job.
I mean, no, probably cool. I don't think so either. I don't think Riot handled this well, like, period. I understand why they did the thing that they did. I don't agree with it, but I understand it.
I'm very excited for him to get a job working on a CS:GO desk.
Yeah, I hope he makes way more fucking money than he does.
Makes way more money, brings a lot of people over to the broadcast.
Yeah.
And also, there's another thing to consider, which, once again, we'll never know, because he put out his like video about it, right? Being like, hey, I'm no longer part of this. Mm-hmm. And it was the most professional like video for something like this I've ever seen in my life. Like, just like him thanking like everyone for their time, thanking like everyone he's worked with, talking about how like he's proud of the thing he built. Part of that is I think he's just actually a stand-up person from everything I've seen.
Yeah.
Also, there's a chance he also just got a fucking huge payment, like payout of, we're getting rid of you, here's like a huge severance. Mm-hmm. which I hope so. I hope he fucking robbed them dry.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about Roundtable.
Hell yeah. I didn't put together a question. I meant to do that while we were recording the show, but then I forgot. So can you guys read out these answers while I'm coming up with something?
Absolutely. Yeah. Last week's question was, what role do you think is currently the strongest in League? And I'll just go for the first answer right now from our boy Dan Man. Support for the highest reward to skill ratio. jungle for hardest solo carry with highest skill, and AD carry in coordinated settings when piloted well. So a little bit of a, hey, depending on like the type of game and the skill level, a lot of different roles have different strengths, which I think is a pretty good, nuanced, and accurate way to look at the game.
I liked Firefly's answer. He said the minions. They have the ability to win a game all by themselves without champion intervention. They are also not toxic, never go to the wrong lane, never miss CS, and never buy the wrong items. So true.
Brandon said jungle. A good jungler can make or break a game. If the enemy jungler gets all of the neutral objectives, the game is just infinitely harder.
And finally, Suda said, by Elo, iron to gold is mid in jungle. Plat is mid slash AD carry. Emerald is emerald to diamond is jungle support AD carry. And Masters Plus is support AD carry. I think it's funny. I'm about to get canceled. I think it's funny when people make tier lists for Elos that they're not in.
I was going to say something similar. I have no idea what... I have no idea.
You're going to say do the Hitler.
No, I would never say such a thing.
I don't know what Elo Suda is, but I do find it very funny because it's like, even if I make this list and I'm in like the Masters Plus category, I have no idea what's good in Iron through Plat.
I'm going to ask him on Discord right now. And he'll
I think
answer.
He's Emerald. I want to say.
I don't know. It's weird because like, unless you climbed through all of those Elos like this year, and even if you did, it's like you weren't playing actual correct Iron games. You were playing like as a Diamond player in Emerald or in Iron. Like, I don't know. You can't make that comparison, I feel like.
I think you can make that comparison.
Shut up.
Whoa.
You're wrong.
I came up with a roundtable question, but I wrote it on my phone, and it won't like load in my notes app. So I'll just. Like,
so it
tell
sounds
you guys
like you didn't come up with one.
No, I did. Well, I yeah, wrote it for sure. Like a second ago, but I wrote it on my phone, and then it just doesn't go on my thing. I couldn't copy paste it to our document. Is all I'm trying to say. I've written down though, but it's a really good one.
Oh, okay, I'm ready. I'm so hyped.
Okay, it says. Skarner just got a rework, which allows his ultimate to hit three times as many champions. Which champion do you want reworked to hit three times as many characters with their ultimate?
Cool. Suda said he's Emerald 4, by the way. Live yes, from the Discord.
I said Emeralds. See, I know.
That was confirmation.
Someone send me in an email and say, what's my rank? And I'll tell you. As long as I know your name, I know what rank you are. And as long as you link your OP.GG with it so I can check before.
All right, so... Part of me really wants to interpret this question wrong and be like Malphite ultimate, and they just make the AOE of it three times bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But
sometimes your responses only need to be as good as the question.
Yeah,
which
so
in,
not
in this
very.
Case is great.
I think when I zillion R, it should pick two additional targets.
Oh my god, what about Malzahar?
Ooh.
That's triple Malzahar ult?
Dude, that'd be so fucking
OP. The support and the jungler roll up to gank you, psych, triple suppress.
Cool.
I would choose Karthus, because then his ult hits all 15 characters.
Nice.
Okay. Cool. What are the other five? So he hits himself, right?
Yeah, he hits himself twice.
Whoa.
No, it's everyone on his team, and then just five other random solo queue players in different games.
would Karthus be... He'd be an insane champion if he targeted him, like his team once and the enemy team twice, right?
Yeah, his ult just does double damage.
Yeah, but no. But your team would take a Karthus ult as well, and it would scale with how good your Karthus is doing. So if your Karthus is really, really fed, but the rest of your team is behind...
He fucking
know,
kills
man.
Everyone. He's just alive, and he pushes base.
I don't know, man.
Also, your team just gets low and gives him 20 Magi stacks.
Yeah.
No. But you can't get kills from it. It leaves him at one.
Oh,
HP.
Now he's making up rules, dude. He's like Riot Games making up.
And I bet
rules.
You can't buy a support item and a jungle item, right?
Not as Karthus.
Oh, okay.
Cool. If you want to let us know what champion you would want reworked to have their ultimate hit three times as many people, hit us up on our Discord, discord.gg/leaguecast, and post in our roundtable section.
Cool. In Mail Fight, Dippy says, I think one of the reasons why they haven't implemented a rule that only one player per team can buy a support item is that an angry top laner could troll and purchase it first. What if there was a system specifically for support items where the team can put up a vote and forcibly remove it from Fiora's inventory so the support can actually buy it, requiring four votes? Yes, Dippy.
I love your enthusiasm. I just think that we should stay away from systems in which we need to forcibly vote to remove stuff from people.
what if we had this, right? You take a summoner spell that's just called support, and then when you buy your support item, you pick the actual summoner spell you want.
I like it. I actually, you know, Tippy's onto something. What if, like, as a group of four people, you could just sell for full gold any item from your teammate's inventory when they
buy it? That's really good.
Like, dude, your fucking AD carry, your Kai'Sa build starts building regular AD carry, you go no. And then you just, like, sell her AD carry item and tell her to go AP. Like,
how many, is there like a cooldown? Can you only do it like once per game, once per character?
You can only do it within like 10 seconds of them. You can't like do it like after they've had it for a while or whatever, but like you can do it like as soon as they buy it every single time.
That seems, I love the system. It for sure can never be abused.
Dude, we get into a four-man lobby, we just don't let our teammate buy an item. Yeah.
Hey, what about this one? Got no. That's cool.
That's sick. Cool, Dippy. Thank you.
The next email is from Oklahoma 10.
So I was trying to find my thing to unmute my microphone. Hey, it's from Oklahoma 10. Hey, guys. Over the past few months, I know there's been a lot of discussion about negativity in the league community. And the last podcast episode, you mentioned how you'd love to see some more positivity or messages that were upbringing rather than just complaints all the time. I think a lot of us are with you on that, but it got me thinking, what could be a good way for Riot to inspire people to make more positive reactions to the game? The easiest thing that I could come up with is community events. Riot's done things like bonus IP back in the old days if you played in pre-made lobbies with friends over the weekend. They've also done events where you can support a side for a skin line like Fire versus Ice or something like that, and have had people play games to submit voting points into one side or the other, depending on which one they had clicked to support. Each day you could see which side the vote was winning more than the other, and the more games you played, the more it would fill up with your vote. Do you think these community events were a good thing for the game that brought more people to the league and made people play more for fun and less serious matches? Also, do you think Riot does a very good job at making scenarios for players to actually have fun, or do you think they're too involved with the professional and ranked play only? For me, I think ranked and professional gameplay is very important for the livelihood of the game, but I also think it's important to bring back some focus on things to the community at large sometimes, and remember that it's all just a game for fun. I feel that Riot sometimes overlooks that part of it. I also think that encouraging players to do more fun matches rather than only play for improvement or the grind could help improve after-game thoughts people have about League of Legends. Better do my part and write sorry about for the long email to close this out, Oklahoman 10.
He did bring back the memory about like the extra IP lobbies from like community people. Dude, I've never seen more people self-narc about having zero friends and zero hosts. I loved it. It'd be like, they'd be like, oh, we're having this fun weekend where you get 20% XP for bonus IP for queuing with one friend, 40% for two, 100% for if you queue a full lobby, woo! And then people would be like, oh, nothing for us losers who have no friends.
Why aren't there more things like this, though? Like, why isn't there just a, like, once or twice a month you fucking contribute to Rengar versus Kha'Zix? Right? Like, I don't know. You get, like, a cool little emote from it, and that's it.
Actual answer? Probably because they're just super understaffed for everything.
Yeah, but that seems like intern work, right? Like, hey, intern, come up with an event for this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's intern work for them to go through their 700 emotes and just tag them with shit like, this is a Rengar emote. But like, they just don't do anything that simple.
The real answer is because they refuse to outsource any of this to the community. Where, like, if there was fucking any level of the League community can build content for League, we would have all this and so much more.
Yeah.
Unlucky. Right, like we'd get a new custom map like 12 times a day, and sure, 95% of them would suck, but like,
you can just say 100%.
True, 99.999% would suck.
100%.
You hate ARAM?
Yeah.
You think ARAM sucks?
I think ARAM was a mistake.
You're a mistake.
I'm probably a mistake too.
The one on, what's it called? What was that map? Dominion, where you all go bottom because mm-hmm. you start level 3.
And then if you lose, someone goes top, and then that's the end of that.
Just gets extra points, and then it ruins the game, yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Oklahoman. Sigurd is back. Love the wavelength segment. Could listen to that a lot. Overwatch tank meta. Just a fact check to Aiden's completely wrong statement about tanks in Overwatch 2. I'm sure this isn't the tone that he meant. In most games, tanks do near the most damage, if not the most. In addition to being the most tanky, creating space and having kits with CC often, there's a reason tanks got the ARAM treatment, being specifically nerfed in open queue, where you can pick as many tanks as you want, Sigurd.
Listen here, you little stupid rat.
How about that, stupid? That's you.
Listen here, you little rat. First of all, the whole fucking point where I brought this up was just in reference to the idea of they should remove fucking support from their game to make it a 4v4. I don't play fucking Overwatch. second of all, when the game fucking came out, I said tanks are OP. Tanks are fucking OP. And I don't play Overwatch 2. I played one game of Overwatch 2. And I'm getting all my knowledge from fucking watching YouTube shorts of fucking professional Overwatch players. And I saw this email. I saw this email came in, and I found myself.
You are mad.
I watched a Flats. Flats was a professional. I think he's professional. Either he's professional or like very high ranked content creator for Overwatch. He had a video where I saw a short from where he said tanks are really bad and they just don't do anything like well enough. And guess what? The fucking short, I got the short like the day of that podcast, and the video is from 4 months ago. So at least at that level of play, or maybe he's just a big crybaby. Tanks at least weren't good to the point where like high ranking players were making videos about them not being very good. That was 4 months ago, so my information is out of date. But the whole point,
just admit you were wrong, homie.
The whole point was just in reference to this fun idea I had of like we should just make the game a 4v4 though. The point wasn't to actually talk about the strength of rules in Overwatch 2.
You can just say oops.
Sigurd, I'm glad you liked the wavelength segment.
Yeah, and I'm glad you corrected Aiden. He needs to be brought down a peg.
He's wrong all the time, and he just never admits it.
Can we do a segment where people send me their OP.GGs and I'm mean to them?
I think so.
Dude, that would make me so happy.
They're consenting to that, right? They like yeah. It's like if you walk into... What's that restaurant where they make fun of you?
Everyone you go to.
Okay, but like for normal people, you know? Like, what is that? It's like that one. You're consenting to it, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys want me to roast you, yeah, GG said it.
I think that could be a very good segment.
All right. Next two emails are from Chonky Monkey. Hello, boys. Long time no email. This is the first time I've taken solo queue more seriously, in great ironic opposition to Aiden's experience. Normally, I don't do more than like 20 or 30 games in a season, but this time I'm already past 50 games. My partner and I have been duo queue bot and support, and we find it fun to strategize and try different combos. One thing we tried doing early on was build around our team comp. For example, if we had a Fiora top, Kindred jungle, and Zed mid, we'd queue Seraphine bot with Bard support to provide more utility and CC for the team. While good in theory, I found this sometimes... I found this to be a frustrating experience. Like when we set up for our jungler to get 2 kills early, only for them to not make much impact later. When we queue as supportive champs, we essentially give up any possibility for us to directly carry. We can let Jesus take the wheel and hope our monkey teammates can win. Kind of joking. On the other hand, we have Samira and Nautilus combo. Yes, sometimes we don't do well in lane, and the game is still in the hands of our allies, but there's a much higher chance that we will crush lane, get fed, and take over the game ourselves. This combo has been a lot more successful for that reason. I guess I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this perspective. Does it make sense that a supportive style feels worse in terms of agency? Could it be just that we're in gold elo, or maybe this issue exists in all elos? Do you want me to read the rest of it, or do we want to address these questions first?
We can do that one first, I guess.
Sure.
Oh, it's a two for. I see. It's a two.
Yeah, it's
email.
It's a two part email. I'll just read the rest of the email. Hey guys, it's a twofer. I've heard you guys talk about bot laners, or how bot laners are not willing to try champions that aren't AD carries. Well, I'm not like these other bot laners. I'm a cool bot laner. In all seriousness, I'm down to try non-ADC champions, but I'm curious to hear if hear from you on what could be viable outside of actual typical AD carries and then mages. What would be the scenarios in which you'd pick these alternative options? My main concern is playing a melee bot laner into double poke. Wouldn't that just be a god-awful experience? Again, these were both from Chonky Monkey.
I'm glad we did read that because they're kind of related.
Yeah, pretty well the same question.
Yeah, I mean, I think you sort of answered your own question, right? Like, carries are carries for a reason and supports are supports for a reason. So if you're sacrificing some carry potential, that means your ability to carry the game is, like, diminished, while your ability to empower your allies to do more goes up, right? Like, it's sort of what I was alluding to. I think it was a couple weeks ago, talking about how, like, the best you, like, you're only as strong as your strongest carry when you're playing support. Because, like, let's say you hit a crazy, like, Bard into Seraphine ult, but your carry's, you know, just completely whiff the timing of Bard ult. There's just not much you can do about that. But I don't know. I think it, like, as for, like, combos, and that it exists in all elos, I guess, is the... Do you guys have anything else to add onto that before we go on to the second part?
I just wanted to add that I think that combo seems fucking insane to carry games. So
Seraphine Bard?
Yeah, it seems like the amount of influence you have over team fights is fucking insanity if you can, like, make it to
I think what this person is saying is, like, regardless of how far, like, that is, if you're not super super ahead or playing, like, out of your mind, you probably just do less damage and lose to the equivalent on a, like, higher damage threat.
Yeah, I guess, like, you could just, like, think of it the exact opposite, right? If you just played AD carry support, yeah, you guys can do more damage, but also there's going to be more games in which you don't get to influence team fights because you have less, like, AoE, like, crazy map-wide team fights, right? Like, I'm just saying there's pros and cons to everything, and I think the pros are pretty strong for your thing, right? That's my whole point.
For sure. It's definitely, like, there's definitely pros and cons to both. I just think what this person is saying is, like, if you need to, like, hyper carry a game, right, you're not going to pick Seraphine.
I agree, I guess, but I my point is that, like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, you're definitely not losing games because of that, though.
Yes, no. There's a slider. Like, assuming everything is the same every single game, you're, like, those two combos are probably on, like, almost opposite ends, where, like, that slider is, like, less damage but more utility CC, like, supportiveness, like, control, whatever you want to call it. And the other side of that is, like, very little control but super high damage. So it just depends on what your team needs. But I do agree with Aiden, is, like, that's probably a lane that you could pick 10 out of 10 dimes and do fine every single time at the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think picking what your team needs is, you know, or is, you know, what they're missing is generally pretty good. You know, you run into issues there where it's like, oh, okay, we need an AP, and maybe you're just not comfortable on AP characters, or it's like, oh yeah, I can play Karthus carry, even though you've got, like, four games of it and they were a year and a half ago. I think there's definitely some danger there, but I also think that, like, adapting your bot lane combo to what your team needs. For example, like you said, if you have a very AD heavy team playing, like, an AP carry bottom, or in like the Bard Seraphine example, like, both magic damage, decent damage, but high utility characters is good. I think a lot of times you can pick just about anything if you're executing it well. Right, like, I recently had a solo queue game where we were Zillion Mundo bottom, and we absolutely decimated, like, a traditional support AD carry.
Did they mean to pick that? I meant to ask you that.
I think so, yeah.
Because they don't play it before, or unless I looked at the wrong person.
I'm not really sure. They were like a challenger player last season, okay, and they just locked it in. And I was like, I was, you know, I had, I think recently also played with some other weird thing bottom, and I was like, fuck it, we'll see how it goes. But you know,
Colton said I have LP to lose.
I don't know. Like, I feel like you can play just about anything in the bot lane, do okay. Like, even if you are, let's say you picked like melee into double poke. I mean, I'd be interested about your thought process of like why you picked that. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, why did your team need that melee character so badly that you would pick it into double poke? Or did you like blind it early? Because at that point, like, then there probably wasn't a really defined profile for your team.
Yeah.
But like, as someone who at least like recently has been playing like very utility oriented, like enabling characters, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to solo carry the game in the same way I might if I was playing like Senna support, or if I was playing just an actual AD carry like MF bot lane. Typically, if I'm filled at this point, if I'm filled to AD carry, I'm just going to play an AP character that can like farm from a million range, neutralize the lane, and hope to win team fights. Like, you can still carry games, it just looks different, right? Like, the way you carry a game as Zilean looks very different from the way you carry a game as Senna. I'm doing like 7,000 damage, but they're perpetually CC'd and my teammates never die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't think, I actually don't think your champion pick probably matters as much as you think it does. I would say like comp probably doesn't even matter until like truly until like probably like, I don't know, high diamond, maybe even GM.
I was looking at Zeri, Nick, because Skydrill on our Discord has been playing AP mid Zeri, yeah. And I'm like, I wonder if anyone else plays AP. Zero people play AP mid Zeri, by the way. But I found people who play Zeri jungle at like high elos on various servers, and they're probably smurf accounts based on like the level. That being said, I'm like, fuck, how can someone hit challenger playing only Zeri jungle? And it's probably because they just play jungle really well, like, and they just like,
yeah, exert, exactly,
the pressure like as X character, and that X character doesn't fucking matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's sort of like kind of what the piece of advice we gave to that coach the other week as well, like, your comps, your champion picks, like, they matter to some extent. There are some matchups, some comps that are really hard to like play against, but the alternative is you just get really fucking good at one character, two characters, like one comp, two comps for like a coach perspective, and then focus on things that will actually have like substantial win rate increases. When do you pick these off meta bot laners?
And what are some that they wanted? I just wanted to like rip off a couple because I think there's a lot. So you already picked Seraphine. Yasuo's great. Ziggs, Veigar, great. Swain's great. Tahm Kench, I think, is super fucking underrated. Huey's insane. Karthus has probably been S tier for like way too long. Brand's insane. Cassiopeia, if you have hands, is really, really good, I think. There's all the artillery ones like Xerath and Vel'Koz. I think Syndra's still really, really underrated bottom. I think Cho'Gath is like the ultimate neutralizer for bottom lane. I think he just, as soon as you, I mean, also just like to give context for all of these, a lot of reasons why a lot of these are good is because you get to take TP on them. You're not an AD carry, so you don't have to take like flash ghost. You don't have to take heal, whatever. You just get to take TP. So like you kind of just don't die in the first 5 minutes, and then you TP back with X item that's important. For Cho'Gath, that's like your lost chapter item. And then you just are impossible to push out of lane, right? I think Sion's fucking underrated, by the way. I think he can just kind of like eat Cox bottom and like live through any lane. Like, I don't know. I just think there's so many options that are underplayed. Maybe they're not actually OP, but they're definitely like stronger than the amount of play rate they get.
They're playable. I think also if you add in like the plus X support, that makes a lot of them way stronger or like way more viable, right? Like, I think Tahm Kench plus any support is like okay. Right.
I think but he's so good with like Lulu, dude. Like,
yeah, and then there's like a few like Lulu, Senna, maybe even like, I don't know. I think Zilean would probably work pretty well also.
Mm-hmm.
Right, where it's like, okay, now it becomes way better. And if you are a duo, you can think a lot more about those combos, right? Where it's like, I think Huey, like, as an AD carry is really good. I think if you add that to, like, another good poke character, it becomes almost, like, unplayable. I played a game against Huey carry and Zyra support, and, like, we could never approach the wave at all.
Yeah.
It was awful. There's, like, you can play, like, anything bot, man.
You can. I mean, alternatively, they're probably, like, you probably aren't able to pick this, like, blind every single game, which I think is a good thing, but maybe you can lock down, like, one AP carry, one AD carry, and then maybe, like, one, like, melee, you know, bot laner, and sort of focus on that as your champion pool. Cool. Thank you to Chunky Monkey. Thank you to everyone for listening. That'll do it for this episode. If you want to send us an email, it's mail@leakcastpodcast.com. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLardoutBlueBasket and LeakCastFrost. Visit our website, leakcastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeakCast. And support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeakCast. Once again, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.